dark, it's late in the evening, we've just driven 1,000 miles. So I pop back in the car, and as soon as she steps on the gas, it just starts.
It's like screaming.
Meanwhile, our daughter in the back is like, Daddy, make it stop. Daddy, make it stop.
Welcome to the Near and Far podcast. I'm your host, Zachary Ellis, and this show is all about embracing curiosity, leaping beyond your comfort zone, and learning from adventurers like yourself who have traveled near and far. Today, we welcome Phil and Becca Stitch, who just can't seem to catch a break on road trips. They routinely drive 1,200 miles each way to visit family, and their cars routinely get broken, pummeled, or buried in these cold, remote places, all while their kids are screaming in the back seat. Becca and Phil have become experts at adapting to change and embracing these situations. So welcome to the show.
Thanks, Zach.
Thank you. It feels very dramatic when you put it that way.
It seems kind of dramatic when you hear what your cars have tried to do to you.
Yeah, it feels dramatic in the moment, too. And then afterwards, we can laugh about it.
But you have a catchphrase that gets you through it.
We do. A little phrase I like to say in every moment of my life. Embrace the fluidity.
Embrace the fluidity. Now, what does that mean?
It really is, I guess, a fancy way of saying go with the flow. Like, sometimes you can't control what's coming at you, but you control your reaction to it, and you roll with the punches.
Love that. That's good advice in so many situations, especially in some of the places where you and your family drive to. So, your family lives where exactly?
My family's all in central North Dakota.
And my parents live in northern Minnesota.
So both cold, kind of remote places. There aren't that many people who even know North Dakotans. Is that what you all call yourselves?
Yeah. I will say it's definitely not like a vacation destination.
Definitely. They're called flyover states for a reason, so.
But we love them. It's home. Yep. It's home, so we can't quit. Our family's there. We have so many good reasons to travel there. And one of our choices, as we made a life choice to move away from our family, like one of the decisions that came with that was that we would always make an effort to be back and be present as much as we could. And almost 20 years on, we've done that. Through thick and thin. So, yeah, lots of stories.
About how often do you make it back there? Because that's, what, 2,400 miles round trip?
Yeah.
About 2 to 3 times a year.
Yeah. So we try to go back in the summer because it's beautiful and it's the best. Green and lush and lovely. But the, like, big family holidays happen in less ideal times to travel. But we try to make it back for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and 4th of July.
Last time I drove through either of the Dakotas, I've only been to one of them, there were all of these sunflower fields. It was the first time I had seen sunflowers grown at an agricultural scale.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and I imagine it's a very different scene in the winter. How cold does it get there?
So I would say routinely between, December and February, there's at least a 2 to 3 week stretch where it's commonly between 20 or 30 below zero. And then you can get some extremes. When I was in high school, it was about 50 below zero.
Those are like notable moments. Yes. Where it's a big deal even for them, but it happens. I mean, every year you can count on it being gross.
Very cold. And at those temperatures, water will freeze when you throw it into the air. My brother and I, as we were growing up, we were finished up chores. You know, we were on a small farm and raised beef cattle. And so when it's that cold, they just have to eat more and more often. And so we got finished with chores. We were watching.
I'm the same way.
Same, right?
So we were watching the weather report with my dad. And on the newscast, the meteorologist said that water would freeze before it would hit the hot water would freeze before it would hit the ground. And, you know, suddenly both my brother and I had tuned out that entire newscast and latched onto that one idea. And so we, you know, ran to the sink, filling it with as much hot water as we could. We would throw it outside and we would hear the energy get released out of that hot water And you can see it crystallize when it hit the ground.
Did it hit with a thud or with a like?
It was like a sparkle. It's like a
fizz.
Like a sparkle.
Yeah. Hmm. Like it hits with a sparkle. Like you can hear the energy. It goes. You can hear. It's just like this very like, almost like a quick balloon deflating, and then a sparkle hitting the ground. So it's really cool.
You closed the door behind you when you did this, right?
So not as well as we were both teenagers, and I think we dropped the temperature in the house about 15 degrees. My mother was not happy.
Wow. That was probably a pretty memorable science experiment for your parents as well.
Yes.
Our kids are like fascinated by that and want to try it. And I'm like, I don't think there's any way we could replicate that. But we did, I think we had to look it up on YouTube to prove that it actually
happens.
Well, maybe next year.
No, hopefully not. I'm okay not having that capability.
Do your kids like North Dakota winters?
Yes.
They like the sledding. There's always sledding.
There's always snow. There's always sledding.
And there's grandma's house. So.
And lots of cousins.
Pretty much, yeah.
Over the river, through the woods.
Yep.
Exactly. Through the frozen tundra.
Yep. Yes. Over the mountains, through Montana.
You told me a while back about a blizzard that you drove through in one notorious North Dakota winter.
This was partly driving, partly flying, though. We thought we were playing it safe by getting plane tickets. Like, it's, you know, it's December. Risky to drive. So we flew into Fargo, drove to northern Minnesota. At the very tail end of our trip, there was, you know, weather reports popping up that there's a big blizzard sweeping through the upper Midwest, really the entire upper Midwest. So we rearranged our trip a little bit, and we tried to leave early and miss it, and that did not pan out. We drove, it's like 100 miles from Phil's parents' house to Fargo. It took us probably twice as long as it usually does. We saw cars in the road or cars in the ditch along the way. And
awkward positions.
Yeah. We were driving this little like rented sedan.
It's a Toyota Corolla with Florida license plates.
With Florida license plates.
So I'm sure all of the other drivers were thrilled to see you and your plates.
Just go. We got this.
They probably gave you plenty of distance, right?
Well, I mean, luckily at that time of evening and the way that the weather conditions were, there wasn't a lot of cars on the road. And so that was good. But yeah, like Becca said, it took us, you know, twice as long. And I had arranged to stay at my cousin's house who lived in Fargo. And he was out of town visiting his family in southern Minnesota. And so they were getting snowed in down there. We finally made it to his house. You know, we got the kids down for the night, but I ended up having to shovel his driveway, you know, a couple of times before the next morning. And then we were checking the flight schedules. Everything was still, you know, even though we could see numerous cancellations, delays, our flight was still on track. And so we were very, very hopeful.
We were like, let's get to the airport like early. We're like, just like, let's just get there and get home.
So we're trying to get.
Did you make your flight? Did you get to the airport?
We got to the airport. After taking a like really like roundabout scenic track there, we found streets that had been kind of cleared to get to the airport.
But some of the streets I would have to jump out of the car and push the Corolla because it was so deep that it was slowing down the car. And every time we would stop, we couldn't get going again. The wheels would spin.
He'd like sit and it would like sink into the snow.
And we couldn't go.
So,
which my daughter thought was hilarious.
So we thought we have to get out of this street. We have to get to a main street. So Phil's like, you drive, I'm pushing, just keep going.
And then I'll run alongside and I'll jump in the car. And Becca's looking at me with a very confused look.
Yep, I'm like, we're going to do this. Let's do this. So driving down the street, Phil's like running through the snow, tromping through the snow, grabs the door and like swings in.
And he made it into the car.
He made it. And we kept
going.
The kids
must think you're an action hero.
They were very little. So they had no clue what an action hero was. They just thought it was hilarious.
They thought it was great. Good adventures. And both he and I were, of course, like super stressed out, and they were in the back giggling. So I felt like that was a win.
But we made it to the airport, and as soon as we got to the airport, our flight was canceled.
No.
Yes. Yeah.
So we ended up getting snowed in Fargo for 4 days at my cousin's house with none of our stuff.
And we still had to drive the Florida license plate car back through all of those streets that we just made it out of because we couldn't trade our rental car. The rental desks were all closed because every road in the state was shut down. And so it's not even legal for them to rent cars.
Oh.
So we were stuck with what we had.
So they can't rent you a car if the roads are shut down?
Apparently not.
It's like illegal.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to take on the liability of having someone going on a road that is known to be closed.
Lesson learned.
And the worst part of that is I tried to return that car. And then 8 months later, I got charged an extra $100 from the insurance company because I kept our rental car longer than the agreed upon date.
It was a whole deal. Ah.
It was delightful.
We thought we'd move past it, but
yeah.
The gift that keeps on giving, I guess. Well, I guess my takeaway is next time I go to North Dakota, I'm bringing my own car, but that doesn't always work out either, does it?
No.
We tried. So yeah.
Let's let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll find out the sad fate of multiple cars of yours. If you're enjoying the show so far, don't keep it a secret. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Reviews help people find episodes like this one where they can learn from other travelers and come along for the journey. Now back to the show. So Phil and Becca, your rental car, it made it back.
It made it back.
But then you went back and your cars did not fare so well, right?
No, we've earned a reputation.
our friends won't travel with us, at least long distances.
Yeah. And there's constant like texting along the way. Like we're all good. No incidents yet. We're good.
Oh, wait.
Or they just wait to hear the stories when we get back because they know there will be one.
Yeah. Unless it's like the last one was notably bad.
Notably bad. So much so. Well, yeah.
Well. So what are these stories? Why do your friends worry so much about you two?
We've gone through a couple of vehicles along the way. We had to buy a new car halfway through a road trip once.
No, it was at the beginning of a road trip.
Well,
it was a big summer whirlwind where we were going to stay with, actually, we weren't going to stay with your family. We were going to maybe just stay the night.
Mm-hmm.
But then I had a family reunion in southern Minnesota or central Minnesota. And then we were also going to visit some college friends. And so we were just like just starting out. And, you know, we're getting late into the evening, you know, because we want the kids to sleep as much as possible. So we start later and we're driving just beautifully down the road. We're probably 20 miles away from where we're going to stop for the night with Becca's sister. And suddenly...
To be fair, though, this is like almost 1,000 miles into the road trip, though it was only our first
stop. That's true.
So we're 1,000 miles down the road.
We're 20 miles.
All right, so basically you just started.
We just started. It was... Basically.
1,000 miles, we just started, yes. We're getting very close to the giant Holstein that's in North Dakota. And
the giant Holstein that's in...
New Salem.
You
New
have
Salem
my attention,
Salem
Phil.
Salem Sioux. There's a giant Holstein on the side of a hill right off of the interstate.
Lit up like a beacon. And the power in the car starts... to go. I'm pressing on the gas pedal and nothing's happening and the engine is increasingly getting louder. Wakes up our oldest daughter. And so we only had one.
She was the only daughter at that time.
We pull off the road and everything was quiet. I had Becca open the hood. I'm looking around. I can't see anything. I mean, again, it's dark. It's late in the evening. We've just driven 1,000 miles. So I pop back into the car. And as soon as she steps on the gas, it just starts.
It was like screaming.
So I'm like, why? Googling, why is my engine screaming like a banshee? Why does my car sound like a fire engine? Meanwhile, our daughter in the back is like, Daddy, make it stop. Daddy, make it stop. So.
And this whole scene illuminated by Salem Sue.
Yes. So we had no choice at that point but to keep just kind of working our way those last 20 miles.
At about 30 miles an hour, maybe.
Maybe. Anytime we'd go over that, it would be just, Banshee. We decided, we'd nicknamed the car the Banshee at that point. Yeah.
So over 30, the car was a Banshee. Under 30, was it more like just a...
just a normal car.
It was like a...
Just a normal car.
Yeah.
So we found out that the turbo in the engine had likely blown a bearing and was frozen, and so that was causing it to have no power and to scream uncontrollably. So
frozen as in the engine was frozen, because this is the rare summer trip to this North Dakota.
The turbo was frozen. The engine could still move, but we didn't have any power.
Thank goodness the weather was beautiful. But did some research, called the next morning, called the mechanics and the junkyard and we uncovered every potential solve for this, and it was going to be either like a week plus
easily
wait or super expensive for what we really wanted to put into this vehicle. We were going to have to upgrade anyway, blah blah blah.
You were at your family at this point, or are you
fortunate. Yes. That's another theme of our travels at this point.
So close.
Now, just to reiterate, you're 1,000 miles from home. Your car decides it can't go more than 30 miles per hour anymore. And you've got to get your car back home, right?
Back home. Well,
first
to the reunion. Like, the whole purpose of the trip was this family reunion that was still another 500 miles away. We didn't want to miss out on that. We couldn't wait for
a car parts
shop and all the things to fix it, so we're like, you know what,
we
need to buy a car. We're gonna buy a car. Gonna replace this.
We have
one.
These four cars that are rated highly reliably
and don't have a turbo.
Let's look at these. And so we bought a car.
So we bought a car and then carried on.
The car buying experience was hilarious, because they had asked us if we had something that we wanted to trade in, and we were like, oh yeah, we got a vehicle we'd like to trade in. So we get to the dealership, and luckily where the dealership was kind of lower off of a hill. So we're screaming through town. We're getting dirty looks. We're getting passed because we can only go 30 miles an hour. But we coast in to the dealership, and it's like, oh, do you have the keys? We're going to check this out. I'm like, sure, go check it out. And the guy comes in laughing. He was like, the technician had so much fun driving your car. He said it sounded like a fire engine. So.
Can you add, Phil, do you have an impression of this car?
I just want to see it gone.
Channel your Banshee.
Yes. I think, wasn't there a Marvel comic, Marvel or DC comic book character that was a Banshee who would scream? Yes. That's what I pictured. That was my takeaway of the car. And that's why we nicknamed it the Banshee. So
we still refer to it that way after 6-8 years.
So what kind of car did you end up getting?
Honda CRV.
Reliable choice. Love those.
And no turbo. No turbo.
The next time you drove to North Dakota or to Minnesota, did you take the CRV? Did it get to return to its homeland?
Return to the homeland.
Yeah.
Lovely. Has been there multiple times. Four more easy years of traveling back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure there was
a story.
Stuff.
I mean,
icy roads probably.
Snowed into Montana, Billings multiple times.
Then, so that turbo wasn't the only car that got totaled on one of
No,
those trips, right?
no.
No, no. It
How
was not the
many
only one.
the next
how many have you
casualty
lost?
of our craziness?
So last fall, I'm trying to remember. There's a windshield story. So this was not the CRV. This was
Love a good windshield story.
a Highlander. We bought a Highlander in the heat of COVID and, no vehicles. We picked out just the perfect one. We had to get it new because there were no used cars available.
Are they the same price as a brand new car?
We found our Highlander.
Rebecca has a theme for her cars. She has almost always had a blue car.
Until recently, when I had to get a new one because my blue car lost its life
But we're
in
not there
northern
yet.
Minnesota. We'll get there. First, we had to get a new windshield because on one trip, about a year ago, we were driving through Montana, which is a treat in itself, and a truck kicked up an ice chunk, and it sounded like a baseball, like hitting a tin wall. Like it was so loud, so
Scared
like
everybody.
crazy, startled us. But we couldn't really see anything.
Because it was
There was
dark. It's wintertime.
like we couldn't, we're like,
Just know
I
one
don't know what
second
that
you
was. Something hit.
were behind a truck, the next second your windshield is cracked.
It's, yeah,
But we
so
really couldn't even
yeah,
tell. I
it was
mean,
way down on the bottom. This was again in the dark, in,
so the next gas stop that we needed before we were getting to Bismarck to stay again for the evening, then we noticed.
This right down on the bottom, glass on the dash. Like it
Oh,
hit
no
so
kidding.
hard, it didn't come through, but it like popped glass out the back of the, or like the inside of the windshield.
That had to be quite the chunk.
It happened out of nowhere. Anyway, so
So we do know of a
so
good
we
windshield
got yeah we
installer in Mandan, North Dakota,
yeah,
Bismarck, so.
new windshield.
Yep.
And then this was just Thanksgiving, this past Thanksgiving, days before we left, we got new tires. We're like, we're driving in November, late November. Let's be ready for some road things.
New windshield, new tires.
New
You are
windshield,
all set
new
with, you practically
tires.
have a new car.
Right.
So we made it the first leg of the journey. We stopped at
We made it.
Becca's
Yeah,
parents' house.
we were there for a few days. Everything was perfectly smooth. Got some work in. Kept going. The Wednesday, Tuesday, the day before Thanksgiving. And it's again late at night, not late, it's evening. Literally half a mile from the farmyard.
Phil, there's a deer. Bam.
It was like within an instant, a deer, a suicidal deer, like out of nowhere.
Like it
From
just
the farm.
appeared.
Like it just appeared. I think I saw it, I couldn't even finish that statement before it
And
hit.
like it
Like,
was the way that the road was and the way the ditches were, it had come up from an angle and had just came in front of the car and hit it. And then there's like buzzers, like we stopped, but our airbags didn't deploy. But like all the sensors and all the dash just started lighting up.
pull over immediately, hybrid malfunction. Like there's like all of these noises, and I'm like, just it's right there. Like we're like right there. Just don't stop. Just keep going.
So we just crawled in and then crawled into my parents' driveway and parked in the farmyard and like right underneath the yard light and looked out, and it was
Well,
just.
Phil couldn't get out. The door was like jammed
Yeah.
on the driver's
Oh.
side, so
I had to crawl out the passenger side.
he also couldn't move for
I was so mad.
he was like frozen. So I got out and I went around and I'm like, ooh, like it was so much, it looked so much worse than what I thought it would because we were still able to drive it. It like demolished
The
the
front.
front, the entire front of our vehicle.
So at this point, were you reconsidering ever bringing a car back to the Dakotas, or?
I think my aunt had put it best. on a previous trip that we were snowed in, or the trip that we were snowed in Fargo, is that telling my dad, telling her brother, your kids are never going to come and see you again. But we still keep
we
coming back.
We can't not. We can't not.
Just.
But we might
just too steadfast
you
to.
Might just start renting cars to drive.
With insurance, I'm sure. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And the, like, this is the part. I'm not even kidding when I say the moment the deer hit the car, I had the thought, we made it all the way here without an incident. I have to text our friends. And I like didn't even finish that thought, and it happened. And yeah. I was like, are you?
And then she tells
kidding
me this
me?
Is like, why were you thinking it?
I didn't say it out. I was even going to say it out loud, and I'm like, I'm not going to say it out loud. It didn't matter.
Yeah. So anyway, that was a Tuesday night. So Wednesday, I'm calling around trying to find, getting a hold of our insurance company, getting a hold of like a tow truck driver because he can't drive it. We're in the middle of nowhere, northern Minnesota. You know, the closest decent repair shop is like 35 miles. So I had to get a tow truck to just take it there to get it assessed. And then, but so it's like, we weren't really able to like spend good quality time with my parents, but my parents got to spend time with the kids. Although we were kind of like,
we were dealing with cleaning out the car. Like, are we going to like, what's going to happen? Are they going to fix it? Are they going to,
and there's five
like,
of us.
What's yeah. Yeah. Three little kids on a 1500 mile road trip.
What did the kids think of the deer?
They were shaken.
It's funny. They all like handled it differently, but they were all kind of traumatized by it. Like,
so not one of them thought, our parents are action heroes. They are persevering through the fluidity. In this case, maybe a little more literally.
That's really good lessons with the older kids.
Yeah.
That, you know, we can't control it. Like, so we ended up having to rent another car to drive back to Boise and hold all of our stuff. And the kids they were troopers. They were smashed in the back. It was basically the equivalent of a Honda CRV. I can't even remember what model that we had, but my oldest was like, just very tight, very grumpy. And we were just like, you know, bad things happen. We're not hurt. We've got all of our stuff. You know, it's just a car.
Everyone's safe. We were near family. Like there were for how, for what a mess it was, there were a lot of good things about it. So we just focused on that and focused on like, this is what we can do. This is what we have to do.
And we worked through it.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So.
That's marvelous. That would have ruined other people's trips.
I mean, don't get us wrong. I mean, we were silently cursing. We were silently cursing every other chance that we could get. But I mean, I think being a parent and trying to like be a role model not only helps them, but it helps you too.
Because then it was a good filter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
and it was like,
what do we want our kids to take away from this? Do we want them to see us like freaking out and like, you know, ruining this family time? That is pretty rare, right? Like, we don't get to spend a lot of time with grandma and grandpa, so let's make the most of it.
Yeah.
And that was more of the takeaway than like when we talk about it now, it feels more like, yeah, we hit a deer. Like, it wasn't a big deal, but like
at the moment
that was in the moment it was a big deal. It was a very big deal.
But I mean, it was like Thanksgiving was like right in the middle of it and nothing was open. My mom had all the stuff. And so it was actually like a really good day to kind of like, I couldn't see what the repair people were, you know, if they had an estimate. I couldn't, you know, talk to my insurance agent to like work this or that up. So
nice. So you had no choice but to enjoy the holiday with family.
Yeah.
And embrace the fluidity, if you will. Yeah.
So now we're well acquainted with why your friends need to check in on you on road trips. When we come back, let's hear what goes awry when this family flies overseas. So many places to go, so many things to see. Wherever you are, make it easy to find more interviews like this one. Near and Far's free monthly newsletter will keep you up to speed about the latest podcast episodes as well as our hand-picked recommendations. That's only one email per month. To sign up, simply follow the link in the show notes or head over to www.nearandfar.travel/newsletter. Now that we know what happens when you drive on trips, let's find out what happens when you fly there. Last summer, you and your family went to Italy, right?
The two of us did, yeah.
So you were not deterred from yet another family vacation because...
Oh, we have so much optimism, Zach.
We really don't like to, like... We're not one of those travelers where you schedule a lot of things on your trip. We usually, like, leave a lot of... things for interesting, a lot of space for interesting things to happen. Well, I mean, we had to start
the trip. This one was really brave, so yes.
We had to start the trip driving because Becca's parents were great. You know, we had talked about, you know, it's for our wedding anniversary. We wanted to do kind of like this, you know, bigger trip for a bigger anniversary. And, you know, we did not want to travel internationally and get passports for our small children. And so Becca's parents graciously offered to watch the kids, but they...
These are the parents who are 1,200 miles away from you.
These are the parents that are 1,200 miles away. Yes.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can't...
And you made it there, or...?
So, 1,000-mile road trip.
Smooth.
Everything went smoothly.
As expected.
It was a dream. But we were certain that, you know... Something was on the horizon. So, 1,000-mile road trip, fly to Italy with two stops.
An eventful flight.
There were two connections, so there was still room for some drama to happen with flights, you know, timings, and...
I think because it was an international flight, we had enough of a buffer time when we flew in. So that was fine.
Yeah. And then Minneapolis to...
Amsterdam. Great.
That was great.
All right.
Also, like, it had been so long since we had flown without kids that it was like a little
super
respite.
Easy. It was super easy.
So, but meanwhile, we are just constantly waiting for something to go wrong because it does.
And there's plenty of time ahead of you for the inevitable.
So, exactly. Right.
Yeah. So we
make it to Milan.
Yep. Meet our friend.
Everything goes smoothly.
There was a small vehicle issue in Italy. So we remember we were going to go up to the Alps. So there was a mudslide.
A mudslide.
We had missed a mudslide by Lake Como.
So blizzards, turbo engines, deer, and now a mudslide?
Mudslides. International mudslides.
Yeah, so our friends were going to take us. We were going to do some paddleboarding.
Yep.
In Lake Como.
On Lake Como.
And a mudslide deterred us. And so we ended up just walking along this small Italian town.
We spent a day in Lake, which was great. It was
awesome. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
That honestly sounds more peaceful than paddleboarding.
It was, yeah. No complaints.
I mean, it was super windy. And so that was part of the reason why there was the mudslide. And so the kite surfers were amazing to watch. But that would have been some rough paddleboarding.
That's true. Okay, so there was an incident.
Embrace the fluidity.
We did it. Yeah, we went with the flow.
Yeah, let's go hang out with our friends. Yeah.
Caught trains all over northern Italy, went to Florence, caught trains to Cinque Terre. On the way back, missed, like barely missed.
Or a train strike.
Didn't miss it. We almost missed our train.
Oh, yeah.
We like got on as it was like closing and ready to take off, but
we had to walk the entire length of the train
to get to,
our seats, but we made it on
the
train.
We made it.
But you got to your seats, you flew back, you picked up the kids.
Well, so yeah, and then we found out that like
the next day
after
was an Italian rail strike.
We needed to like take trains to get to, yeah, it was Italian.
You just missed that.
by hours.
Yeah.
We're hours away from that. And then we got back. Yeah, everything went smoothly. It was fine. We made it.
And like, no screaming kids while...
No screaming kids. Oh my gosh. Yeah. We could stand in line all day. It was...
We could read a book. So we could talk to each other.
It was great.
So,
and then we get back.
We landed in Minneapolis, but then remember... So we had landed with enough time that there was two flights that were coming from Minneapolis back to Bismarck. And so we, you know, walked to the gate agent and we said, hey, can we get on this earlier flight? We know we're supposed to be on this flight. And they're like, well, let me check.
Sure enough, we even got home 2 hours early.
Sweet.
We used up all, like, every iota of our travel luck on that trip, I swear.
Yeah, because
all of
our original flight was going to be 2.5 hours delayed. If we had traveled another day later was when the CrowdStrike debacle had disabled, you know, the entire nation's air systems.
And that was that summer.
The end of that trip was when CrowdStrike was that day,
like the next day, if we would have that been morning. Just one day later.
Such a different story. We might have still been in Italy because it was a day later.
Yeah, that's true.
You got all of your travel mishaps out of the way early.
Yeah. I think we spent them all there, though, because the next trip we took, we totaled our car. That was the deer trip. Yeah. Yeah. But international travel was a breeze. Who would have thought?
Amazing. I'm glad you had at least one trip where you just missed all of the disasters and ended up having a good time.
And it's particularly notable because that's not the norm.
Well,
yeah,
any of those things could have deterred someone from ever going on a road trip again, or ever considering flying somewhere, or risking a rail strike again, but you know what? Yeah. You two and your family, you keep going and you embrace the fluidity.
We sure do. Yes. I mean, we gotta live, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
We couldn't not travel. So we deal with what we need to deal with and we take the lessons from it and we keep going.
You know, and kind of bookending that, like, you know, when we started dating and like when we got married, we knew we wanted to travel. You know, do something different. One of our first times traveling together was through a blizzard in Minnesota.
That should have been.
I think that really is
such foreshadowing.
It's spring break, of course. In North Dakota, it's still 10 below 0, snow covered. So it's
Balmy for you guys.
I know.
Wasn't it? But, I mean, it was. Yeah.
But
yeah, the car will start. You don't need to plug it in.
Exactly. My brother and I have an uncle that lives in San Diego. And so I don't know like how we kind of came up with that as our spring break destination, but it was my brother and his now wife and Becca and I. And so we decided to fly to San Diego, and to save some money, you have to go to the largest airport. And so it's like a 3.5 hour drive from Fargo to Minneapolis. And inevitably, a blizzard is coming through, and so we take off, and we're driving.
Racing against the blizzard?
But we lost. We lost the race on that one.
So, you know, you can just think of, like, so we're driving in this tunnel. It almost feels like a tunnel because the snow is blowing. You can't see any landmarks on the road.
I'm going to blame, like, dumb college student for that.
But it was like definitely a foreshadowing of our travel adventures, because it ended up this 3.5 hour cruise, you know, to quote Gilligan's Island, is now it took us like 7 hours to get to Becca's aunt's and uncle's. It rained as we got to Minneapolis.
Turned into a thunderstorm, turned into a rainstorm.
Like, it was so icy by the time we got to Becca's aunt and uncle's house that we couldn't pull it into their driveway because we would get up and we would slide back.
Like, so the car just like slide back down. Yeah.
So do you two get bored when you're not on the brink of disaster, or
you know?
I can't. Yeah.
Do we have Stockholm syndrome?
I don't know. Italy wasn't boring.
That was great.
I don't know.
But it was so close to being so much more interesting.
Yeah. So close to being But I mean, you know, and here we know we're telling that story years later, and it's a good story.
It's memorable.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, fantastic. Thanks for coming on the show and sharing your stories today. So much of what you went through would have broken a lesser traveler. And thanks to you, listener, for listening to the Near and Far podcast. If you liked this conversation, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your fellow explorers. You can find more episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, nearandfar.travel, on YouTube, or wherever you enjoy your favorite podcasts. I'm your host, Zachary Ellis. Stay curious, stay adventurous, and stay exploring near and far.